Welcome to Transformation Church Podcast. We are so excited that you tuned into our Recalculate series. Today's message is about having faith to build God's house with willing hearts. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
Well, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad that God is here, and I got a word this morning. Is anybody ready?
Yes.
Why don't you get out your notes? Today, we are starting part 4 of a series that we are calling Recalculating. Everybody say Recalculating. And if this is your first time joining us in this series, we've been kind of having a revision series. Like, God's done so much in our church in the past 10 months that usually we do vision at the beginning of the year, but there's too much for us to wait. We still got 64 days left in 2018. And I believe that God wants to do something so strategic and so amazing in all of our lives, but we have to see what God is doing. And so we started this series using the analogy of a GPS system and how when you make a wrong turn, there's something that comes on and it says recalculating. And it takes into consideration all your mistakes and all your mess ups, and it still gets you to your intended location. Can anybody thank God that His grace has recalculated you? Yeah, you know who you were in college. You knew who you were yesterday. Excuse me, you knew who you woke up with this morning. But if not for the grace of God. And the reason I say that, because a lot of people think that church is for people who are perfect. But we don't serve a God who looks for perfection. We serve a God that we invite into our mess, and He allows us to progress. Everybody say progress. And I want to say this very clearly, because many churches won't say this to you. But if you're a visitor here or whatever you're going through, we're glad you're here. You can belong here before you behave. Now, I know that they don't want you to say that. But what hospital do you walk into healed before you go? This is the hospital for humanity. And so we're so glad that you're here. And the reason God's recalculating us or taking in consideration all of our faults and our loss and our brokenness is because He wants to be with us. And so as I started studying for today, as I do, I always try to find a relevant example to be able to bring to us so that we can learn from God's word. And as I was studying GPS systems, global positioning system, as I was studying it, I found the evolution of GPSs. And I thought this was interesting, and I want to show it to you. In 1977, the military were the first people to get this type of GPS. It was an exclusive technology that only certain people could have. And look at 1980. Look how portable. It says military portable. That mug is a backpack. Okay, that was the GPS system back then. And then most of us remember it in 2001, where if you or your grandma or your uncle had one of those, you thought they was balling. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, dang. And I don't know how y'all used to find places before GPSs. Maps, real maps, and some of y'all are gifted. That's like, I can't even interpret that at all. That's the millennial generation. And most of us remember in 2008 when it first showed up on cell phones. And for the past 10 years, most people have been getting navigation from your cellular devices. And as I begin to look at this, God gave me a word. And He said, He began to show me, He said, Michael, there's something better than a GPS. And for me, as directionally challenged as I am, I couldn't really think of anything better than typing in, get me here, and it telling me all the directions. He said, no. There's something better than a GPS system. Y'all want to know what it is? It's a person who's sitting with you, who knows where you are and knows where you're going. That's better than a GPS system, because a GPS system can only tell you location. But a person who's sitting with you, who knows where you are and where you're going, can give you explanation. See, when I go on tours and me and my wife sometimes travel, they'll give us a personal tour guide. Because the personal tour guide doesn't just know how to get us there. It knows how, he knows how, she knows how to tell us why we're here. Gives us not just explanation, but can give us interpretation. If we don't know the language of the place that we're at, they can translate for us why things are happening where they're happening. And so many people are so excited about getting to a location, but you have no interpretation, you know, you have no explanation, and you're sitting in places that you're going to repeat because you don't know why you're there. And many people are going through cycles after cycles after cycles. It's a new boyfriend, but it's the same person. After cycle, it's a new job, but it's the same problems. After cycle, because we are not getting explanation. We're not getting interpretation. We're not getting there. And so what I wanted to tell you is that we serve a God that doesn't want his navigation system for our life to be exclusive. He doesn't want it to be like the military is the only person that has it. He wants to be the God that comes and sits in all of our situations. See, this is the thing that I need you to understand, that when we talk about God, when we talk about how good our Father is, he doesn't just want to be a global positioning system. I changed it. He wants to be the God positioning spirit, the GPS. He wants to be able to sit with you in your dysfunction. He wants to be able to sit with you in your loneliness. He wants to be able to sit with you through the divorce. He wants to be able to sit with you while you're addicted to what you're addicted to. The religious people don't like this. Because you get it right first and then you come to God. No. My Bible says, if I make my bed in heaven, he'll be there. But if I make my bed in hell, he's there to, he's the God that doesn't want to give us instructions from afar. He's the God who wants to come and sit in our situation. Yes. And I am thankful for a God who doesn't want to bark orders, but wants to help me in it. Yes. And the reason I'm so passionate about this is because part of our mission here is to represent. We're not going to be a church that barks orders to tell people what they should have done, what they would have done, what they should do, what they would do if they had this, and you keeping all your secrets in your closet because you don't have any accountability in your own life. We will be a church that sits with people, that gets down in their situation. And as I looked at this, a word for God or one of his names is Emmanuel. Do you know what that means? God with us. I love God. You don't love God? What's wrong with you? And I know so many people think that God is exclusive. That's what the world even tries to portray, like he's only for good people. God's only for pastors. Like the pastor get a word. God, go, Pastor, wait. I get people all the time, Pastor, will you throw up a prayer for me? Because I know your prayer. I need you to pray for me. Because the Bible I read says where two or three are gathered in his name. You don't got to be up here. All you got to do is everybody shout at me, believe. So if you're a plumber, you can have as much authority as the pastor. if you work at a daycare, you can be able to speak to mountains and they will move. I'm gonna have to do a series later on in the year. Who's the minister? Because y'all think I'm the minister. But my Bible says that the only reason you come here is to be equipped for the work of ministry. You're ministering at Quick Trip when you leave here. You're ministering at your job with them people you don't like. Why you gotta change your attitude? It's because you're their minister. The reason why your life has to be above reproach is because you're not just somebody that back here going to do your thing and da 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 da. You are their minister. You need to get off the sidelines of life. Why am I so high? All I know is that the same way God wants to come and sit with us, he wants us to be a church that sits with people. And so I started looking at this as God is recalculating us. I went and looked up the first time that God said, you know what? I'm going to sit with people. See, and it's in Exodus chapter 25, verse 8. And I want you to look at it because up until this point, the children of Israel have been brought out from slavery. That God saved them from Egypt, but now they're in a wilderness. And we learned a few weeks ago that the detour was designed. Like God took them this way on purpose to get some things out of them before they went into the promised land. And so we find these people in this in-between time, like many of us are in today. Like we're out of what we used to be into, but we're not quite into the promise yet. Like anybody ever find yourself there? Like you don't cuss everybody out. But if they take you past, y'all. She's like, me, Pastor, me. That was me yesterday. And I want us to look at this and see if we can find some things that we need to do, because I believe God's calling us to a higher vision. Everybody say vision. And remember, vision is not sight. Sight is what you see with your eyes open. Vision is what you see with your eyes closed. Like, what do you see when your eyes close? What's the business? What's the book? What's your family look like with your eyes closed? What has God shown you? Where do you live with your eyes closed? And I need you to see this, because God's trying to take us as a church beyond where we are right now. Look at Exodus chapter 25, verse 8. This is God talking to Moses. He says, I want you to have the people of Israel build me a holy sanctuary. Look at the reason why. So I can live among them. Or let me say it a different way. So I can sit in their situation. I need you to see this very clearly. Up until this point, God only talked to Moses. Like up until here, he only talked to Moses when he made a tent on the top of the mountain, and Moses would get instructions and then he would go down and tell the people. But God says, I don't want my people to have to reach me through anybody no more. I want to be able to talk to them for myself. And this is the first type and shadow of what Jesus would go on to do for us, being the great mediator. When he went to the cross, it was to tear the veil so we would no longer need a priest or anybody to go for us. We wouldn't have to be sacrificing the meat we was going to eat. We wouldn't have to do any of that stuff. He said, he'll be the eternal sacrifice so you can talk to me freely. Like so this is the first time we see this. But why? God's not just trying to do this so that he can do something new. He said, my people need me, and I want to come sit with them. So tell them I need a sanctuary. And look what it says. It says, you must build this, and I want you to circle this word, tabernacle. Everybody say tabernacle. Tabernacle. You must build this tabernacle and the furnishing exactly to the pattern I will show you. And this word tabernacle, all it means is a place where more people can meet God. Like it's a place where people can meet God. God said, I want to sit with you, but I need a seat. So I need you to build the place where I can sit there and people can come meet with me. My point number one, God does not want to just save people. He wants to sit with people. Everybody just wants to get into heaven. Then what? Like then what? Then you live hell on earth until you get to heaven? No. He said, I want to do more than just save you. I want to come sit with you and be your personal GPS. Me and the Holy Spirit, we're going to walk with you and guide you and teach you and give you wisdom and show you don't date her until you do take that job, until you move there, until you don't move there, until you don't spend your money now, until you spend your money now. I want to guide your steps. But I can't guide it if you don't let me sit with you. And so he tells Moses, hey, tell the people, I no longer want to do this distance, long distance relationship. I know you like it that way. Most of us, some of us like long distance relationship because nobody can see the details. You can paint the picture you want people to see when it's long distance. But when I see you every day, I see the crust in your eye. You hear me? You got a little bit. You got a little crusty right there. You can tell if somebody breath stink. When you're close to somebody, you can tell if they're talking pride. And God said, I want to get close enough to you so that I can know you and you can know me. And so he said, I want you to build the tabernacle. Everybody say tabernacle. Okay. So the second point I want to point out to you, though, as we look at this, and I want to give you the point first, and then I'm going to read the scripture. Before there is a seat, there is a sacrifice. But he asked him to build the tabernacle to make a place where he could sit and meet his people. But before the seat, there was a sacrifice. Let me help you understand that. We just read Exodus 25, verse 8. But I want us to go up. So before this verse was said, I want you to see what God first said to Moses in Exodus 25, verse 2. Okay? He said, the Lord said to Moses, tell the people of Israel to bring me their sacred offering. Accept the contributions from all whose hearts are moved to offer them. Now this is interesting because this told me something. God wanted to do something big, but I found out something very strategic. God's big plans always include us. God never wants to do anything amazing on the earth without his people. Ask Noah. God could have built the ark without him. And I don't know about you, but when I can do stuff for myself, I like to do it without anybody. I don't need you. I don't need you. I don't need you. I don't need, like, depending on other people, trying to make sure our schedules coincide so we can get this done. Get off me. Like, anybody else, like, if you can do it, you just go ahead and do. Okay. Thank you. But the God of the universe decides, I want to do big things on earth, but I will not do it without my people. He wants to build the tabernacle, but he says, I want you to bring an offering. I want to partner with you to do things that will change people's life forever. So let me give you the third point. Because Transformation Church is in a brand new season. God has changed the pace. We're in a bamboo season. Like literally, we made a decision last week that we're going to follow the cloud and we're going to have the faith to follow whatever God calls us to do. Can I get one big amen? Amen. So that means something. The sacrifice precedes the plan. Now I want everybody to hear me because I'm saying a lot right now, but I want you to hear this. God asked for, in verse 2, for them to give an offering. And in verse 8, he tells them that I'm going to build a tabernacle and I'm going to tell you the plans after you give the sacrifice. What? That don't make sense to my Western culture mind. Like, I don't understand. You better show me the plans before I give you any money. I mean, come on, let's be honest. Show me the plans. Let me test drive it. Let me see it. Let me see myself in it. Take a picture. Let me see. Give me a full plan before you ask me for anything. But it's so crazy how the kingdom of God is upside down. Like, it says stuff like this in the Bible. It says, give and it shall be given to you. It says, if you want to gain your life, you're going to have to. It says the way up is humility. Like, and so God is asking for an offering from people before they build the tabernacle and before he gives them the plan. And then God showed me this. He said, Michael, everybody wants a forest, but the forest you will see tomorrow starts with the seed you plant today. And there are many of us that want the full plan of God. And God says, but I need a seed. And literally, that's how God has been dealing with me as the pastor of this church. The reason I'm preaching this message is because I'm coming out of my secret time with God and I'm telling the people what God is telling me. I said, God, I don't know how to do this. Last year, this time, we had 2 services and we was good with that and you were blessing us. And now we have 5 services every Sunday. Father, I don't want to die. Lord, you got to give me a plan. Lord, we didn't have this many people in one service. We don't have parking for all the people, Father. We don't have seating for all that you're doing right now. I said, God, give me a plan. He said, give me a seed. He said, the seed that you plant today is going to produce the forest that you will be able to build with tomorrow. And many of us have not seen the forest because we're waiting to plant the seed until we're convinced that God will do it. And God told me to tell you that you're going to have the faith to follow, that he's not going to release the plan until you plant a seed. And I know you could be mad at me right now, and I need everybody to relax. Everybody, just do this for me. Breathe deep in and let it go. And everybody say, relax. We're not taking no offering today. Because I know. People started, if you got $40, if you got $400, stand up. If you have $300, just kind of squat. If you have $200, just lift your, we're not. Those are things that people have manipulated to use and make people not experience Jesus. God takes care of this house. We're not worried about that. The thing that I'm telling you is God's trying to expand us beyond where we've been, and he's standing and waiting on us to make the next move. When I was in prayer, God said, the ball's in your court. Sow a seed. I'll give you the plan. This is the exact same thing he told the children of Israel. Sow a seed, and I'm going to give you the plans for this tabernacle, a place where more people can meet God. And as I look around, this place is not big enough for what I see when my eyes are closed. This place, there is not enough room on this property for what I see when my eyes. Y'all, this has all happened in 10 months. What is 10 years from now look like? But somebody's going to have to plant a seed today that will be able to produce a forest for somebody else. And so I just wanted to bring before you today what we're going to do 8 weeks from now. December 16th, we're going to take as a church and bring as a church what we are calling a tabernacle offering. And we do this every year, not necessarily called a tabernacle offering, but we bring an offering that is for the expansion of the vision into the next year. And the reason I'm telling you right now is because there's no pressure for you to do anything today, right now, or anything like this. But I need to explain to you the heart. And the message is not over. I got more for you. It's like, oh, Lord, he's just going to tell us about giving. If you don't partner with what God's doing, you die in the wilderness. Because these people did not heed what God was saying, they died in the place that God wanted them to only pass through. And I just want to let you know, Transformation Church, you are an amazingly generous church. And honestly, when it comes to vision, we don't really have to do anything else. We are in a very comfortable place right now. And I have to be honest, because it's your generosity. But I feel like the cloud is moving. I feel like God's taking us into deeper waters that feel uncomfortable, and we have to wade in these waters. And like, God, you're asking us to invite more people. You're asking us to get a different building. You're asking us to do, God, this is uncomfortable. He said, I ask people to step out on faith so I can take their natural and put it with my super, and it becomes supernatural. And can I just tell you a few things that you have done as a generous church? Because people got to understand, like, when we give, when we sow, when we believe, when we partner with God, it accomplishes the vision. And our vision here is to represent God to the lost and found for transformation in Christ. Let me just tell you a few ways that you have done this already through your generosity. The first way is that this year alone, 2018, we have given away in missions money over $170,000. Oh, y'all can give God praise for that. Now watch. Let me tell you what you're giving to. We've given money to build global churches in other countries, as well as right here in the U.S. through an organization called ARC, a church planting organization. We have given thousands of dollars. You have given thousands of dollars to help abolish sex slave trade here in America and all around the world through A21. You, with your giving and your faithfulness to the house of God, have been able to send money to all of the hurricane reliefs that have been happening. We were able, and let me tell you the beautiful thing about it. This is so exciting. That we never took an offering when the need came. Because of your generosity, we already had it to be able to do it. And probably one of the most special things is right here in this community, we've been able to partner with schools that are right up the street and meet people's personal financial needs benevolently right here. And we're just getting started. Can you give God some praise for that? That's just one of the things. Let me tell you another one. When I became the pastor of this church, I asked God, I said, God, please don't ever let us fight with money. Like, I don't ever want to use this platform as a way to keep the lights on. And so God said, okay, I promise you, if you do things my way, if you listen and obey, you'll never fight with money. I am so excited Oh, I said, I am so excited. I am so excited to let you know that for the past 3 years, we have been on a financially very strict plan to knock out every debt that this church had. And as of 2 weeks ago, Transformation Church, we don't owe nobody nothing. We are debt free. Oh, y'all can be excited with me. No. Y'all don't understand. When it rolls around every month, we don't owe nobody no money. Okay, look. Now, two reasons you need to be excited about that. Because what God does for this house, He wants to do for your house. Okay? And then the second thing you have to realize is that means that none of our money is going to pay for banks and interest on loans. We're not paying for anybody's vacations no more. We get to use 100% of what you give in this place to go towards expanding the vision of transformation in Christ. Can we give God, y'all, a shout of praise in this building? That is awesome. But I hope you heard me clearly. We're no longer in debt, but we don't have enough money to do the vision. Let me give you a secret. You always have to have more vision than you have money. You always have to. Because provision only comes when there is vision. And some of y'all are wondering, why ain't I got enough money? Because you don't got enough vision. You need to see beyond where you are right now so God can give you the provision for the vision. So right now, guys, we're doing great. We could not do anything else. But let me tell you how God's expanded our influence in seeing people's lives transformed. This time last year, 2017, this very week last year, live in the building, butts in seats, all services included, grasshoppers, children, dogs, everybody. We counted everybody last year. There were 702 people that came to Transformation Church this time exactly 12 months ago. Can I tell you how many people came to this building last week? 2,214 people. No. That's 300% growth in 12 months. Ask any business what kind of numbers those are. It's not something we've done. It's something that God's done. Everybody say, through us. Through us. No, say it like you mean it. Say, through us. Through us. Let me tell you another fun number. Last year this time, online, not YouTube, not afterwards, like while we're having service, people are tuning in on Transform Church, on transformchurch.us online. There were 387 people watching online this time last year. And we were rejoicing and high-fiving, okay? Can I tell you how many people was watching last week? 21,953 unique devices. No, you don't even understand. That's not even people. That's just devices. We don't know how many people. I know there's a group in LA that meets 20 to 30 people at a time around one device. 21,953 last week. Y'all, everybody look at your neighbor and say, we good. like we don't have to do anything else. Let me tell you one more. Last year, this time, YouTube subscribers, people who watch during the week, we had less than 2,000 people this date last year that said, hey, whenever you put up the little sad message of Pastor Mike preach, could you email me and let me know? And we were pumped to let them know. As of 8 a.m. this morning, there was 422,000 people in 10 months. God took us from less than 2,000 people wanting to hear what we had to say to almost 500,000 people. Now, no, stop. Let me give you perspective. How many Skittles would 422,000 Skittles be? These are not inanimate objects. These are people. These are destinies. These are lives and families. And God somehow is trusting us to be able to speak to them. I think my most exciting number is the one that causes eternities to change. How many people accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior just this year? Get ready to shout. 6,839 people. If you ain't shouted about nothing else, we are seeing transformation in Christ. That is a big deal. Now listen, almost 7,000 eternities changed because a bunch of people in North Tulsa, some of y'all driving 20 and 30 miles to get here. They told me white people wouldn't come to the north side. Look around. They here. It doesn't matter what man says when God says something. It doesn't matter what people say when God says something. So we good. Like, we don't have to do, we can keep doing what we're doing and be okay. But I feel like the cloud's moving. I feel like God don't want us to stay here. I feel like he's asking us, do we have faith to follow? Will we be ones that would have willing hearts to partner with what God is doing and actually sacrifice to see his tabernacle built? And I'm trying to tell you is I don't want to stay here if God's moving. I don't want to be here. I don't want to stay in this comfortable zone of just doing my thing and being a consumer of Transformation Church if God's asking me to partner with him. And I'm putting that challenge out to every person under the sound of my voice right now. I don't care if you're watching this from Transformation Nation in another service or sitting here in the building. God is requiring more of us. And I want you to see very quickly what happened when God tried to give the children of Israel an opportunity to partner with him. They fumbled the ball. And I just want us to learn that we don't have to do this. You can have two ways of learning. You can either go through it or watch somebody else go through it. And I want us to look at this because what ended up happening is God was trying to recalculate them and say, hey, I don't want to just speak to Moses. I want to speak to y'all. Build me a tabernacle so I can come sit with you. But you got to sow a seed so that I can build this thing. And they was like, okay, we'll do it, God. We trust you. We love you. Glory, glory, glory to God. Like many times how we use our lips, but our hearts are far from it. And so what ends up happening is Moses is like, okay, y'all get y'all seed ready. I'm going to go back and talk to God so I can get clear plans for the vision that God wants to build in this tabernacle. So Moses goes back up to talk to God. And I'm going to give you six chapters in just 1 minute. What ends up happening in Exodus 26, verse 30, he goes up to get the plan, and God gives the most detailed, elaborate plan. He gives details of what clothes they're supposed to wear, what table is supposed to look like, what the lamp is supposed to look like. Straight up tells them everything. And so he gives a detailed plan. And then in Exodus 31, he hires these two dudes that I'm calling Bez and O, because their names are very hard to say, and you can go and figure it out if you want to. And he hires them because they're master craftsmen and they're going to be the ones to build the tabernacle. And then in Exodus 32, the people build an idol. Like God had given them instructions, but they didn't have a clear plan, so they started building their own thing. Look what happens. Exodus 32, verse 1, it says, when the people saw how long it was taking Moses, God, why don't he freaking hurry up, to come back down the mountain, they gathered around Aaron. Come on, make us some gods who can lead us. Make us some gods who can lead us. We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses who brought us here from the land of Egypt. So look at dumb Aaron. Well, take the gold rings from your ears and your wives and your sons and your daughters and bring them to me. Catch this. Aaron was a leader who had a plan, but he wasn't in God's presence. And a plan outside of his presence is a problem. Yes, it is. I need you to hear me. So this is what I want you to do, Transformation Church. Follow the leader that's led by the Lord. Yes. I need you to write that down. You need to follow the leader that's led by the Lord. Wives, women, that's why you don't date a man who does not have a relationship with God. He cannot lead you if he is not led. I need to be led, and I know all the men gonna be hating on me, but I don't know what to do with my wife. As a pastor, I have to go to the presence of God, or you will make a plan without his presence and it will be a problem. That's free relationship advice. Somebody's like, dang, I'm sitting next to him, dang. Anyway, see, one leader was appointed by God and the other leader was appointed by men. And look at verse 3. It says, all the people took their gold rings from their ears and gave them to Aaron. Then Aaron took the gold, melted it down, and molded it into the shape of a calf. When the people saw it, they exclaimed, oh my God, look at Israel. These are the gods who brought us out of the land of Egypt. Aaron saw how excited the people were. That's why if you're a leader, you can never go off the emotions of people. Because it will get you messed up and you will do things to get claps and likes and you will be out of the will of God. Okay, here we go. So he built an altar in front of the calf. Then he announced, tomorrow will be the festival to the Lord. He's in delusion now. Like he knows God, but because of people's claps, it drowns out the voice of the Lord. When you're listening to this, you might not be able to hear the still small. And some of us are addicted to applause. We're addicted to people telling us we're doing good, and we stop listening to the voice who got us there in the first place. It said, verse 6, so the people got up early the next morning to sacrifice burnt offerings and peace offerings. After this, they celebrated in a feast and drinking. They turned up, and they was partying all night. Look at this. Don't let your frustration build a construction that leads to destruction. I'm going to say it again. Don't let your frustration of how long it's taken. Yes. God didn't do it how I thought I would do it. I thought he was going to do this and he didn't do that. Don't let that build the construction that leads to your destruction. My question to you today is, what are you building with? Are you building your life out of faith or are you building it out of frustration? Because wow. Some people are at jobs because it didn't work there and you got frustrated with how it was and you just started a new plan. And you never went to God and asked him, is this what I'm supposed to do? Or you went and bought this new car. I need a new car. God wanted 3 more months on that clunker. And you were supposed to anoint it with oil every day, about 3 quarts. And because he was going to bring you into a new season that could sustain it. But right now, your life is on the wire, stressed out about money because you said, well, I'm just going to get a new car. And you made a plan without his presence. I'm talking real life situations. You driving around saying it's a blessing, but it's your curse. I'm on one today, Charles. I'm on one today. This is my next point. I want you to write this down. While you're waiting on the plan, remind yourself of the promise. See, these people knew he was going to listen to God. But they weren't reminding themselves, like, God has a plan for us. God wants to do something big with us. God wants to do it. They were complaining because it was taking too long instead of reminding themselves of what God said. My question to you, yes, what did God say to you? Like, what did he tell you? What has he given you that you're supposed to hold on even though you're in the wilderness season? The business will succeed because God said I would be blessed to be a blessing even though I'm broke as a joke. And I am reminding myself of the promise. And too many of us rehearse the curse. We rehearse the thing that we don't want, and we don't say what God has said. And let me just tell you, this didn't end well for the children of Israel. Because they started elevating other things other than God, when the whole thing started, hey, I want to be your partner. 50-50. Like, I'm going to do something great, and I'm going to just let you put your name on it if you sow a little seed. Like, you'll be able to say, I was a part of this movement that touched the whole globe called Transformation Church, and I sowed, like, a little, like, I don't even know how much it was. I just sowed it, and see, that's the thing. It's not about amounts. It's not about mine compared to somebody else. Do you know one of the most extravagant gifts in the Word of God was given by a widow woman with 2 mites? And there were people dropping hundreds of thousands, making it rain everywhere. And God, Jesus was in there and he said, hey, stop, stop, stop. Did y'all see what just happened? And it was like, what? What? Glory to God. And he said, no. This woman right here, she didn't give out of her abundance. She gave out of her deficiency. And what she just gave was a sacrifice. You gave all that and you didn't even feel it. What she gave was a sacrifice. And because of this woman's faith, she's going to be talked about for the rest of eternity. I'm trying to tell you, what you have is what God needs. He's not looking for something more than what he's already given you. These people, they started partying, and God literally interrupted his movement with Moses. And God was like, Moses, stop praising me. Go down there. The people going crazy. And he said, what? And he said, they're making other gods besides me. And he said, matter of fact, God got so frustrated in the middle of the conversation. He was like, never mind. I'm just going to kill them. I'm going to kill them all. I'm going to kill them all. And just imagine God being like, I'm going to kill them all. Like, that's like devastating and final. Like, but Moses, their leader, started bargaining with God. Said, please, God, don't kill them. Just give them another chance. And this is the grace and mercy of God, that he will, when we mess up, he will give us another chance. And God said, fine then. Go deal with them. Moses comes down the mountain. He sees them. And he says, what have y'all done? Never mind, God, kill them. Kill them all. Like, and he asks Aaron, what in the world happened? And Aaron, just being dumb again, he's like, God, I don't even know what happened, Moses. The people just start taking off their gold, and I threw it in the fire, and then a calf came out. Read the Bible. That's what it says. And literally, Moses, he said, there's consequences for these actions. And right then, 3,000 people died that day, but he spared the entire children of Israel. He said, because I want to give you a chance to still partner with me. He goes into this season. He goes back up the mountain because he didn't want to see him no more. You know when your parents get so mad at you, they're like, I don't even want to see you. Yes. Don't even. Yes. So he goes back up the mountain, and the Bible says that he meets with God and he sees the glory of God, and he comes back down the mountain. And then this is what he says to him, Exodus 35, verse 4. He said, then Moses said to the whole community of Israel, this is what the Lord has commanded. Take a sacred offering for the Lord. Let those with generous hearts, everybody say generous hearts. Present the following gifts to the Lord: gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, goat hair and cloth, tan ram skin, fine goat skin leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the lamp, spices for the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense, onyx stones and other gemstones to be set in the ephod and the priest's chester piece. And I begin to think about this. Why would God ask them for all this stuff in the wilderness? Because he gave it to them as they were exiting their slavery in Egypt. God was not asking them for anything he hadn't already given them. Like, he was asking them to sow a seed of what they didn't have as slaves and what he gave them as sons. And this convicted me. This convicted me so hard, because God challenged me every time he asked me to give. I come up with excuses of why I can't and what's going to happen. And Lord, that number, like, Lord, he said, you have enough to build idols. You had enough to build idols, to drive idols, to live in idols. But then when I ask you for it, you act like you don't got nothing. He said, it was never about what was in your hand. And this is my last point, and I want you to hear this. Building God's house is never a hand issue. It's a heart issue. I believe God wants us to join with him to build this tabernacle. On December 16th, we're going to all bring an offering. And listen, we're not bringing pledges, and we're not bringing commitment cards, because I don't want people like, oh, I owed him $100. I can't come. These are things that keep people out of the house of God. Something happened and my tires busted. I had to pay for my tires. No, this is a free will offering. And all I'm asking you is not for amount. I'm asking every person in this room who feels like maybe there's a single mother who needs a community to find transformation in, and this might be that house that we can make room for her. Maybe there's a businessman who has all the money in the world but no peace in his life, and we could possibly make room for them. Maybe there's a gangster who wants to get out of the lifestyle but has no safe place to be in so that God can transform his heart. Maybe we could build room in the tabernacle for people to meet God, and it might be your friend, your neighbor, your grandson, your daughter, your wife, your husband. And God's saying, will you partner with me so that we can build a tabernacle, a place where people can meet God? And this is the beautiful thing. Look what happens in the next scripture in Exodus 35:20. It says, so the whole community of Israel left Moses and returned to their tents. The reason why this is so powerful is because Moses, when he told them, he didn't ask them for anything that day. He asked them to go ask God. And again, that's what I'm asking you to do. Go ask God. Because the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 9:7, it says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. He said, for God loves a cheerful giver. And look what Exodus 35:21, I love the scripture. It says, so all those whose hearts were stirred and whose spirits were moved. That's all I wanted to do today. I wanted to stir your heart. I wanted you to know that God has done a lot through us, but there's so much more that he wants to do with us if we would partner with him. If we would not complain and hold back, that we would give to him freely, he would stir our hearts and he would give seed to the sower. He said, whose hearts were stirred and whose spirits were moved came and brought their sacred offerings to the Lord. That's what we're going to do on the 16th. They brought all the materials needed for the tabernacle, for the performance of the rituals and the sacred garments. Both men and women came, all whose hearts were willing. The thing you got to know is God's house is built on willing hearts. How are we going to see a facility that kids can come to and get transformed? And interns can be in and we can facilitate more people without worrying about rain when people gonna have to trek through mud to get to church and be able to have enough parking space and enough children facilities and all this stuff. We're gonna build God's house with willing hearts. And all I'm asking you is, some of you have never been a part of anything bigger than you. Here is an opportunity on December 16th to do something that may change somebody's eternity. My whole picture right now is to plant a seed right now that if any of my kids ever go away from God, which my family is not exempt from trial and tribulations. As a matter of fact, we got a bigger target on our back most of the time. But if my daughter Isabella was to ever go away from God, I'm going to sow a seed in this offering that one day, maybe 10, 15 years from now, will become a forest, and somebody who was affected by Transformation Church could be a person while she's wilding out or doing whatever she's doing that could be a loving arm and say, hey, there's a place that no matter if you're a PK and people know who your family is and all this other stuff, that you can come and get transformed. And I want to sow a seed that may outlive me and people can be transformed for so many more years to come. I want this church to have the faith to follow me as we build God's house, a tabernacle where people can meet him, not with money, but with willing hearts. I want to pray for every person because I believe that God is about to stir on us and he's going to give seed to the sower. Hands lifted right where you are, all over this building. Come on. If you're watching right now, I want you to lift your hands. Father, I'm thanking you that right now that this group of people will have the heart for the house. God, that we won't build something as unto us, but we want to build something that is for you. So you can come sit with your people. Forgive us for building idols, Father God, and trying to put your name on it. God, today change us from the inside out. God, speak to us clearly. Let us not be pressured into anything. Father God, I thank you that we will not hear a stranger's voice, but we will hear your voice. And whatever you say, even if it means we have to do less for Christmas, or we got to sell something, or we got to hold back, Father, we will obey. I thank you, Father, that Transformation Church will be marked not like the children of Israel who turned an 11-day journey into a 40-year death. We will get to the promised land because we will obey you. And I thank you, Father, that you'll build this house with our willing hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, listen. Do you know the greatest thing about this story is that in a couple verses later, Bez and Oh, the two craftsmen, who I can't say their names, they had to tell Moses, hey, the people gave at such a level that we don't even need all of this. Could you please tell them to stop giving? Because we have too much to manage and actually build what God's called us to build. I'm believing that the faith of Transformation Church and Transformation Nation is going to rise to the place where God's going to have to tell us, hey, enough is enough. Because you did exceedingly above, abundantly, all that I could ask or think. What happens when God tells you enough? That means you have to be blessed that way so that you can bless that way. And I'm believing that for your businesses, for your homes, for your lives. Because we have eternal work to do. Amen? Let's give God praise because we will build God's house with willing hearts. Hey, listen, you may be in this room right now, and this is a tabernacle, and it is for people to meet God, and you're in here, and you need to meet Jesus. Yo, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. It's the thing that took me from being a liar, addicted to pornography, a manipulator, and it turned me not into a perfect man, but into a progressing man. And I stand here today because of the grace of God, and I want you to have that same opportunity, not to lead yourself anymore, not to be your own GPS, but invite God in so he can be the God positioning spirit in your life and tell you which way to go and what to do and what not to do and who to date and who to stay away from. He wants to do that. He wants to sit with you, and it comes with you inviting him in. So right now you may be in this room and you're saying, Pastor, that's me. I want to give my life for real to Jesus Christ today. And it don't matter who came with you because they can't save you. And it doesn't matter what they think because God will renew your mind. You'll forget about them. Hear what I'm saying to you. This is a decision that will change your life forever. And on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to make a bold faith move. And I want you to raise your hand and say, Pastor, I want you to include me in that prayer. And some of you were once with God, but you've been far away from him. And you've been doing your own thing. Today is a beautiful day to say, Pastor, that's me too. I want to come back home. One, I'm so proud of you. Two, God is too. Three, lift your hands if you want to make. I see you, sis. I see you. I see you. There's hands all over the place. I see you. This is why we exist. You can put your hands down. I see you. Hey, listen, at Transformation Church, you don't pray alone because we're a family. This whole thing was built for you. We exist for the people who are not here yet. So if everybody would bow your head and close your eyes and pray this prayer with me for the benefit of those who are coming to Christ. Everybody say, God, we need you. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die for me and to live for me. And today, I make you my Lord and Savior. Change me. Renew me. Transform me. I'm yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. I want y'all to give God some praise right there. This is why we exist, to see transformed lives.
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or at transformchurch.us/give. Thank you for listening, and remember to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this. Now go and live a transformed life.